And now back to Elaine Stevens. Elaine, are you there?
Good. I'm here.
All right, good. Please ask your guest the following question. And you deal with minds a lot.
Yes.
Could the revelation that beings exist from any other place in the universe shatter the foundations of human society here and now? In other words, religious people would be thrown into a tizzy, the entire structure of the human belief system into chaos. How would people handle it?
Well, I think that we're far more flexible than we're given credit for, and thousands upon thousands of people are having contact, and they're not thrown into a tizzy. As a matter of fact, they're very powerful, strong people to have that kind of knowledge and be able to function in a world that chooses, for the most part, not to believe that.
Well, you know, Elaine, I listen to you, and you sound so sure of yourself, and and you've talked to so many people, and mm-hmm. I do shows like this all the time,
mm-hmm.
and this gives people out there opportunities to take pot shots at me, which they do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If I were a pincushion, I'd be full. That's okay. I don't mind. What do you run into? Are you criticized for working in these, even for a hypnotherapist, sort of different areas?
Well, I've gotten used to it. Consider the fact that the first work I did and was drawn to as a hypnotist was to work with exploring past lives. Sort of ridiculed or looked down upon. People have been disdainful with my personal belief system and how I conduct my life, and that's fine. I work from my own belief system, and that sustains me. I really don't care what other people think. If each of us needs to create whatever belief system works for us, and if we differ, we're going to differ. That's okay. We can agree to disagree. I no longer get into Mexican standoff with people and going to fight them to the death over it. I don't care if people believe they've lived past lives or not. The second chapter in my book is titled, I Think I Made That Up.
Do you know Dr. Bruce Goldberger, or know of his work?
Oh, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't know him personally, but I have read his book.
He does past and future life.
Yes,
progression.
I've done future lives also.
Oh, you have.
Oh, of course.
Well, let's begin with past lives.
All right.
Elaine, what is the best evidence that you've run into personally? I know of no greater question for humankind, and that is whether our soul lives on once these physical bodies end, whether there really is more or not. It's a pretty big question, Elaine. You must have answered it for yourself.
Yes, I think I've done probably thousands of regressions at this point, and in every past life regression that I conduct, I always, at the end of the session, direct the person to the last day of their life. And then to what happens beyond that last day. And first off, our culture is frightened to death of death. We fear death as though we're not going to, if we get scared enough, we won't have to do it.
That's because we think it's terminal. In other words,
exactly.
The great blackness.
The great blackness. But what I've discovered in guiding people through their own death experience in a previous lifetime is that there's always, I don't care if they die peacefully at home in their bed, surrounded by family who are there to nurture and love them through the experience, or if they die in a battlefield run through by a sword or are trampled by wild horses. It doesn't matter how they die. The experience is always the same. And the experience is one where they're immediately peaceful and calm and surrounded with light and love.
Would you
and
add,
there's no fear.
Would you add the word aware?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I mean, that's what everybody wants to know. Once you've died, is there an awareness?
There is an awareness. There is, in my mind, no death. None at all. I had a friend, a very close friend, who died several years ago. And I went down and spent time with him the last month before he died.
Right.
And I asked him, where's your heart, where's your head? I feel badly that I have my life, and it's obviously going to continue for a while longer than yours. I don't know why you're leaving now, but how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my greatest fear is that it will be like when you leave a room and you turn off a light switch.
Yeah.
It's light, and then it's dark, there will be nothing.
Yeah.
And I just said, oh, wow, you know, I don't know how I can convince you at this point or what words I can give you, but I can promise you, I have guided thousands of people through their death, and that is not what will happen. You have lived your life with tremendous love and caring, and you will be greeted with that same caring the moment breath ceases in your body.
What
and
does,
I know that.
As best you know, Elaine, what does happen when you die? When that final breath leaves your body, what happens to you?
The first thing that happens is that people float out of their body. They generally are floating near the ceiling of the room. They look down at their body. My first question is, how do you feel now? Peaceful. It's okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it doesn't, and I just, aren't I going to be surprised when I die if, in fact, that's not what happened?
But no, you won't, because it'll be like throwing a switch off, Elaine, so you'll never be up there
saying... I'll be sitting here in the black.
You'll never be saying, gee, I screwed that one up.
But it gives me comfort while I live.
All right, I like really hard questions.
Okay.
And here's one for you, Elaine.
All right.
You may have seen a piece on 60 Minutes not very long ago. Actually, there's two I want to refer to.
All right.
Because they both got to me. One was of a lady who had an aneurysm in her brain.
Yes.
The aneurysm, did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Okay. The aneurysm was, you know, a big bulbous thing in her brain.
Right.
And the doctors determined that to operate on her would burst it and she would die.
Mm-hmm.
So it was inoperable. Except they have this amazing new procedure where they reduce the temperature of your body,
mm-hmm.
and they did in her case,
mm-hmm.
drained all of the blood, I said all of the blood from her body.
Ooh.
She went flat line, no brain waves, no heartbeat, no air into the lungs, nothing,
mm-hmm.
for about 40 minutes.
Ooh.
About 40 minutes. Now, the reason they did that is, once they drained the blood from her body, there was no more blood pressure, hence the aneurysm collapsed, and they were then able to excise it and sew her up. But the interesting part, Elaine, is that for 40 minutes, she was flat line. They warmed up her blood, and they put it back in her body, and as they did, with no additional revival techniques, you know, paddles or any of that,
right,
all her signs came back, her brain waves began once again, her heartbeat, and she was breathing, she was back alive. As a matter of fact, she's cured now. She's not the only one that they have done this to, and my question is, for those 40 minutes,
mm-hmm.
where was she?
I hope out of that body. I will assume out of that body. And perhaps I would love to talk with her. I would love to know. I would love to do hypnosis with her and see what, in fact, if we could find out what she was doing during that 40 minutes. And perhaps she experienced what a great many people study and write about now called near-death experiences.
Yes.
And that's an incredible life-changing experience of its own. The story certainly makes you applaud science and the things we can do to help people now. The story also makes me think we must have incredible assistance from many levels that we cannot even imagine to be able to do such a thing with someone.
Yes. All right, again, you as a practice take people into past lives in order to help them with current lives.
Yes.
You said earlier that it doesn't matter how somebody died,
mm-hmm.
whether it was peacefully in bed without pain or whether some horrible accident happened to them. What about ghosts, Elaine? entities that appear to be still here on Earth for one reason or another, and generally when the death has been violent,
mm-hmm.
or there's been some great trauma, even unfulfilled love, something really emotionally important at the moment of this violent death, they seem to remain. Now, is there anything to that, or would you just say, I don't believe in ghosts?
Oh, no. I would say I live in Virginia City, Nevada.
There is a famous ghost up near you.
Lots and lots of famous ghosts. I live in a house that was built in the 1800s.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think I live alone. I think that what happens at a soul level is that if there is a trauma at the time of death, or as you say, if there is a longing for a person or a place,
yes.
I think that at a soul level, that person is trapped at the earth plane level. One of the things that happened to me when I first began to become more intuitive.
So in other words, Elaine, there are exceptions to what you said earlier. Not everybody has a peaceful transition, apparently, or at least it doesn't sound like to me if you're stuck down here with pain rattling behind.
but I think that I think that you can do work with a ghost, and you can direct them to the light, to a higher level of consciousness.
Really?
Oh, yes. And a great deal of work like that is done.
Have you ever seen... I'll tell you what. Let's hold that question. We'll be right back to Elaine Stevens. And we're sort of off track right now, but it is a very interesting track. And we'll be taking telephone calls shortly. Stay right where you are. Here's something that's really affected my life, and not just mine, but my wife's too. My wife has asthma, and trust me on this, our home is a different place since we turned on the Alpine system. Elaine, before the bottom of the hour, what's the best actual evidence? In other words, have you ever asked anybody about a past life? Once you get into it and you're talking to somebody or about getting memories of somebody who lived in a prior life, there ought to be things you can nail down. Descriptions of places or things that Elaine can then go investigate
yes.
and say, well, yes, by God, it's true.
Yeah. When I first started doing past life regressions, Art, I spent more time at the library than I did in my office. I would do regressions and I would think, how in heaven's name could they know that, or is that accurate? And I would run off to the library and I would get the encyclopedias or whatever reference sort of books I needed.
I bet.
And the dates would be correct. The things that had happened would be correct. I would think that's not how people dressed then. I would get books about costume and dress in different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
It would be totally accurate.
Mm.
But the real clue, there's another clue that's more important than historical data, and that's the feelings that people experience. A truly meaningful past life regression is not a historical account. It is a deeply moving, emotional experience, a memory of another time,
yes.
when we have lived and experienced things at many levels.
Well, I guess a person would ask this about death. If it is not the end, Elaine,
mm-hmm.
and then what you're talking about really is reincarnation. It really is reincarnation. A word by any other name still is another life, right?
That's right.
So it's reincarnation. And if you don't carry with you from one lifetime to another the consciousness that you enjoyed in the prior lifetime, then in a sense, you're not continuing.
Oh, but I think all of the gifts we have, I think that each of us has something special and shiny and bright about ourselves.
Yes.
And that something special and shiny and bright, something we do well, an ability to communicate or be loving in the world, those abilities have been honed and learned through many lives.
But Elaine, that's more like a genetic memory than it is a consciousness. On that note, we've got a break here at the bottom of the hour. And we will come back to that point because I think it's a pretty important one. If you're concerned about a continuation of consciousness, at least... I guess that's a bit better than the switch in the off position. We'll be right back.
Tired of the same old music? You'll like our app. first hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
From the Kingdom of Nine, you're hearing Dreamland with Art Bell. To participate in the program, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. This is the CBC Radio Network.
Yes, it is. Dave in Chula Vista just sent me a fax and said, I just stated that my newsletter is $29.95 a month. If I did, he goes on, inflation really has arrived. It's not. If I said that, that's wrong. It's $29.95 a year, and it comes to you every month. That's what I meant to say. Just $29.95 a year. And the reason I'm emphasizing hitting it so hard today is the deadline is midnight tonight to get the one ordered that'll get you the new color. We've got this great issue coming out. You really ought not miss it. The number to call is a year, $29.95 a year. The number to call for the Art Bell After Dark newsletter before midnight, please, is 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. Now, pycnogenols, what are they? They're antioxidants. That's believable.
Yeah, that, and they're not on this planet.
Oh.
Which kind of frightens me, I think. Did we really destroy it?
By 2300.
Uh-huh.
Now, you say many are not on this planet.
But, and then the other question is this just a possibility that's afforded to people at that point?
I talk to people like, you probably heard Gordon Michael Scallion.
Oh, of course.
And Mr. Scallion suggests that there are many possible futures. And that
exactly.
That he will see them, one brighter many times
mm-hmm.
than another.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true of the individual life course as well?
I think so. I think many, many years ago, when I first started exploring all of these questions, I was reading the Seth material, and one of the books called, I believe it was The Unknown Reality by Jane Roberts, and it was part of the Seth material, part of that series of books.
Yes.
One of those books spoke of possible realities and people being shown, if you stay on this course at this moment that you are on, this is a possible outplay of that. This is what will become of you.
Yes.
If you change consciousness and choose to make some choices in how you live and how you conduct your life, this is the outplay.
All right. People like Mr. Scallion do a more collective job on it. They say if humanity continues on its present course,
mm-hmm.
these incredible earth changes will occur. And it leads me to have to ask you, have you taken anybody into a future life who has seen or hinted at these earth changes?
No. No, I think that right at the moment that we live at right now is a critical point in the history of life on this planet.
Oh, I agree with that.
And I think that consciousness can be changed and raised, and the future can in fact change. I think that obviously you don't have to read very much or watch the news, but maybe one night a week, and come to the conclusion that we're on some sort of self-destruct course here.
Yes. So then why is the answer to my previous question no? In other words, I would have thought, given our present course, unless you're telling us you know for sure there's going to be a change, there is disaster ahead of one sort or another, social or earth changes or economic
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And
yeah.
So why have you not found a hint of this from those people, those future lives you've looked at?
Well, I have never directed a group to a time before like 2300. And because you have to consider that while we are part of the mass of men, we are part of a collective consciousness, if you will, we are also individuals. And
okay, but at 2300, you see a very controlled life, but you do see a life, and you and you said you see not all of those future lives at all on this planet.
Yes.
With more of them gone than here?
It's hard to tell sometimes exactly where they are. The technology is so incredibly advanced. The capabilities, you know, that have been developed are so advanced. And some of them are here. It's very, very different than what we can even conceive of now.
You can give me a typical description. I mean, when you get somebody on Earth and you get them into a future life, and let's say they're in 2300, what is the kind of thing they would say to you? I see the following, or how? What would they say?
They have before them very often a control. You know how we have computers now that can do amazing things?
Yes.
I can't even work a quarter or an eighth or a teeny part of what's on my computer.
Yes.
But people seem to have these incredible control systems in front of them that operate a screen, and they can access knowledge or information. They can make changes to their environment. There's a tremendous capability there at seemingly at the fingertips of the individual.
So in other words, you're talking to people that are saying they are in control of their own environment and they have machines to do that. Interesting. Hold on, Elaine. Very, very interesting. And a bit of a different a possible future, at least in the year 2300. What a fascinating course. We'll be right back. Our guest is Elaine Stevens. She's author of Whispers of the Mind. And we're talking about past and future lives and a lot of related phenomenon. And so we'll get right back to her and take a couple of calls. Elaine, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Well, here they come. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Where are you calling from, please?
Oh, Oklahoma.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Assuming that we all have had past lives, then I would also have to assume that we have probably all done really horrific things, and we have probably had terribly horrible and frightening things done to us, like being murdered and things like that. My question then is, why would anybody want to go into a past life regression?
All right. So it's a good question. In other words, why are you doing it, Elaine?
Well, I do it because I think that we are extremely complex beings, and it gives us a greater understanding of all of the facets of who we are. People do not remember horrific and horrible things unless perhaps they're having that affect their life now. If you have a fear, say, of water, it may be that you have drowned in a past life.
Take an example. Let's say I did drown in my past life.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible way to die.
Right.
And very traumatic, and it's somehow affecting me in this life. When you take me into that past life and make me relive that moment of drowning, how do you help me?
What happens is I number one, can't make you relive it. You will only relive or remember
what I want to.
Yeah, what you can handle.
All right, how will that help me?
It'll help you because knowledge is always power. And once you have that memory at a conscious level, it's only what we don't know of that controls us with fear. But once something is conscious, the fear is diffused, and somehow magically, and I wish I could tell you exactly how it works, but I can assure you that once you have the memory at a conscious level,
you can
the
deal
fear
with it.
Is gone.
You can suddenly deal with it.
You
no,
can
that
suddenly deal with
that
it.
Does make sense.
Yeah.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Elaine Stevens. Where are you calling from, please?
Honolulu, Hawaii.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Art? Okay, Elaine, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, is it possible through hypnotherapy to revive latent psychic powers such as levitation or some things along those lines?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, it is possible through hypnosis to revive latent intuitive abilities. I think that we're all intuitive, and the more we learn to use that subconscious part of our mind, the more we open that ability up.
Is intuitive just another word for psychic?
Psychic, yes, it is. But I have never been able to allow or encourage someone to levitate, and that would really be fun.
It sure would. Caller, thank you. That was a very, very good question, and I've got one to follow it up. Elaine, before the top of the hour here, the ability to levitate, psychic abilities to, you know, this business about remote viewing and all the rest of it.
These, oh, yes.
These kinds of powers, do you believe, Elaine, that these powers are latent in us and, in fact, are becoming less with modern industrialized society, or that these powers are developing now as we continue, by our standards, a very slow process of evolution? In other words, are they coming or going?
Oh, I think they're coming. We live in a very technologically oriented world, and we have removed ourselves from that aspect of our being, and with awareness and consciousness, we can remember. That's another gift of remembering a past life, is you can remember skills and abilities.
Yeah, but why? It seems to me we're masking them. You mentioned your computer.
Oh, we do.
You mentioned your computer. I mean, when you're involved, as I am, in so much information and computers and things that are keeping your mind going, you're not in an intuitive mood.
No, you're not. But that's one of the values of hypnosis, is to provide ourselves, to gift ourselves
with that
opportunity on a daily basis.
Oh, now that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. If we do that, what happens, a direct result is, number one, our stress level goes down.
Right.
We can handle this glut of information we swim in a sea of. And secondly, we begin to remember who we truly are. And we, I believe, are first and foremost spiritual beings. And we connect with that very beautiful part of ourselves by disconnecting from the technology, just briefly.
All right, well, that absolutely makes sense and brings out another question. Stay where you are. We're at the top of the hour. Don't forget, you've got to order this newsletter by midnight to get the next issue. It's 1-800-917-4278. Don't blow that off. 1-800-917-4278. We'll be right back.